This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, another weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine, wherein we cull all the most important stories from mainstream media, medical journals, we put them all together for you, stories that relate to health. We call that intelligent medicine, the best of natural therapies, the best of high-tech medicine. And among the stories that we're going to touch upon this weekend, we're going to, in just a moment, talk about the consequences medically of daylight savings time transitions. Also, what's happening to your kids' brains when they get stuck on screens, all those phones and iPads and devices? Can they be actually causing fundamental alterations in the structure and function of the human brain? Does smoking actually cause you to look older? A new study looks at that and many other stories. 877-726-8255 is our number. We're just chock full of stories this weekend, but we invite you to call with your questions related to intelligent medicine. By the way, the number 877-726-8255, jot it down because even as an afterthought, even after the show is over, you can call that number and you can record a question. We'll be taking some of those recorded questions later in the program, but how you liking the time transition across the USA? Because it was last weekend that we transitioned from daylight savings time to standard time. And I was kind of anxious to do that because what was happening is I'm kind of an early bird. I get up early and I was not very motivated to get up at 6:30 or 7 in the morning when it was pitch dark. And I would take a little morning daylight in lieu of late afternoon daylight. And now it's getting kind of depressing because it gets dark a lot earlier. But I need those mornings to get me going. But there's an article here, headline: Doctors Call for End to Daylight Savings Time Transition. And that's actually what they've already done over in Europe. In March of 2019, this year, the European Parliament voted to do away with daylight savings time permanently. And this is based on polling of people all across Europe. And the vast majority of people said, get rid of it. You know, they'd rather just stay on standard time and not have to do with the twice-a-year time changes. Last week's time change wasn't so bad because we actually got an extra hour of sleep, but I'm still kind of jet lagged. I really haven't gotten used to it, and I'm getting up pretty darn early. I'll get up at 5:30 because my body is telling me that it's really 6:30, and we have these internal clocks that are pretty good at telling us what time it is, and then we apply a jolt to them when we do international and bi-coastal jet travel. That's the familiar jet lag that takes a couple of days to get used to. But for some people, it's a big problem, especially when we lose an hour. Now, that's, you know, spring forward, fall back, right? Spring forward means you lose an hour because instead of being, 6 in the morning, it's 7 in the morning. We just did the opposite. What they say here in this article is that there are hazards to the time change, and there's actually disruption of the synchronizing process in the brain and in the body that leads to an increased risk of heart attack, stroke, and other health conditions that are associated with reduced sleep, plus the increased risk of fatal traffic accidents. And this is statistically proven, is that in the aftermath, especially of the fall spring transition, where we lose an hour, there are more hospital admissions during the next few days. There are more traffic accidents as people lose precious minutes of sleep. And the bodies just don't do well with it. Their biological clocks get hammered by the time change. And, you know, the original impetus to daylight savings time was during World War II, because they thought, well, we need all the fuel that we can get to propel the war effort. So we're going to make it so that there's more daylight, and then people won't have to turn their lights on, and we'll save power. And that power then can be translated into all the fuel that's necessary to fuel the war effort. Well, it turns out that a Department of Energy study that was done in 2008 evaluated the impact of extended daylight savings time on national energy consumption. And what they found is that it reduced it by 0.02%. Which is not a big gain, I'm sure you'll agree. So, you know, maybe, just maybe, I don't know, we tend to be ornery here in the United States. We won't adopt the metric system. You know, we prefer miles to kilometers and inches to centimeters and pounds and ounces to grams and kilos. And so it may be a long way off before we call it quits on daylight savings time. Personally, not a big fan, and I don't enjoy those transitions. All right, you got kids? If you got kids, you know that it's a battle to keep them away from screens. Screens are like crack or catnip to kids. They gravitate to screens like nothing else. I mean, you got a choice between a picture book and an iPhone, and the kid's invariably going to reach for the iPhone. So they did a study. I mean, look, we know this is bad, and that's why, you know, all the Silicon Valley executives, they send their kids to special schools where they're screen-free zones. They carefully ration their kids' screen time, and they figure that it's for us plebes to let our kids use phones and tablets as digital babysitters. Well, this study just published in JAMA Pediatrics. JAMA stands for Journal of the American Medical Association. Pretty authoritative journal. Shows that children who have more screen time, get this, they image their brains, and they have lower structural integrity of white matter tracts in parts of the brain that support language and other emergent literacy skills. These skills include imagery, like imagination, and executive function. What's executive function about? It's about self-control and self-regulation. And also, these children have lower scores on language and literacy measures. So if you're thinking of that phone or that iPad as a teaching tool, you may want to consider the American Association of Pediatrics' current recommendations for children younger than 18 months. Avoid use of screen media other than video chatting. You know, maybe grandpa lives in, and grandma live in Cincinnati, and you live in Seattle. And so it's nice. You know, you make contact. You can use screen media for video chatting on FaceTime or something like that. Parents of children 18 to 24 months of age who want to introduce digital media should choose high-quality programming and watch it with their children to help them understand what they're doing. Don't just park them with their phones. I see that a lot. You know, it's like the nannies pushing the kids in the strollers, and the kids are glued to screens, and the nannies, of course, they're on their cell phones talking to their friends or family members, and the kids are zoned out. So if you're going to have your kid use digital media, you know, spend some time with them, you know, interact with them. Right. For kids age 2 to 5, limit screen use to 1 hour per day of high-quality programs. Parents should co-view media with children to help them understand what they're seeing and apply it to the world around them, and designate media-free times altogether, such as dinner or driving. Put those phones away. And also media-free locations at home, such as bedrooms, you know, which is part of the problem with kids' sleep deprivation. Older kids spend an awful lot of time on social media, you know, Snapchat and whatever the latest rage is, comparing notes with friends and sending them emojis and laughing over videos. That eats into precious sleep time, which leaves them brain dead in the morning. All right, 877-726-8255 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, postnasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help maintain your healthy blood sugar: glucose management with berberine, glucose balance, and chromate. These botanical supplements can play an important role in proper insulin function, normal energy production, promotion of healthy body weight, and maintenance of healthy blood sugar levels that are already within the normal range. Their ingredients are backed up by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. You can call in. You can come directly into the doctor's office and you can pose your question, or you can offer a comment on, the diet wars, veganism versus omnivore versus carnivore diets, whatever you choose. 877-726-8255 is our number. And a little bit of a theme is developing for this segment of the program, because it's about common conceptions such as these. Does weather really affect our experience of pain? And does smoking actually make your face look older? And what's the best oil to use for cooking? And is olive oil very perishable when you heat it to a high temperature? And also, do indoor plants, are they an antidote to sick building syndrome? Got a bunch of stories queued up for you, but you can call us 877-726-8255. Let's tackle this one about the relationship between weather and the experience of pain. And a lot of people are going to say, duh, because you know that your joints are kind of like a barometer. They tell you about weather conditions. And I just harken back to driving in the car with my mother. She had a convertible, but she only used it for about 5 years. And then she rarely took the top down because she developed arthritis. And then she was always worried about a draft. You know, I'd be enjoying the cool draft. We're in Southern California, so we're not talking about freezing weather there. Like a really cold day would be like 58 degrees. But she would say, close the window. I'm getting a draft. It's hurting my neck. And so a new study looks at that phenomenon. Does weather really affect our experience of pain? And it turns out that for people living with arthritis and other painful conditions such as fibromyalgia and neuropathy, certain types of weather actually increase pain. And, you know, plain Mesa, it's a big duh why they bothered to study it. But, yeah, we got to validate some of these folkloric views. Many at the University of researchers at the University of Manchester in the UK have released the findings of a new study that exposes a link between chronic pain and humid, windy days with low atmospheric pressure. Well, okay, high pressure, you know, it kind of presses in, keeps your joints compact. Low pressure allows your joints to expand. And you may not notice it, but your joints actually are influenced by the barometric pressure. The researchers had a sense of humor. They entitled their study Cloudy with a Chance of Pain. And they looked at more than 13,000 people from all across the UK. And some had arthritis, some had fibromyalgia, migraines, or neuropathy. And the analysis showed that on damp and windy days with low pressure, the chance of experiencing more pain compared to an average day was around 20%. So, you know, it's about one-fifth more likely that you will experience pain on such a day. So proof positive that weather influences our pain experience. What about this one? When I'm in a subway, you know, a little bored sometimes, so I kind of try to do a little facial diagnosis, and I kind of look at the people and I go, smoker, smoker, non-smoker, non-smoker, smoker, non-smoker, smoker, just by looking at their faces. Now, is there really such a thing as a smoker's face, a condition where smokers look older than they are? And it turns out that they did an analysis based on photographic evidence. And what they found is that indeed there is a relationship between smoking and a more wrinkled, aged appearance. If that's not enough to deter you from smoking, here's another one. Smoking increases the risk of depression and schizophrenia. Well, you might say, well, yeah, depressed people and schizophrenic people are, you know, kind of despondent. So they smoke for relief. So it's not, you know, correlation isn't causation. But even when they corrected for that, it turns out that there was a definite relationship between smoking and its toxic effects on the brain and susceptibility to depression and schizophrenia. So it was not reverse causation. You know, yeah, if you're depressed, you're going to smoke. It turns out that smoking actually induces more depression and even worse is a higher association with schizophrenia. And it makes sense because of all the toxins in tobacco smoke that can have a deleterious effect on brain function, create inflammation and free radicals and advanced glycation end products and all forms of toxicity. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. You're welcome to call in. We'll take some calls in just a moment here on the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available online as well as Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. You can call us now during the program this hour next, or you can call anytime you like 24/7. Say you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you have a thought and you say, well, I'm going to call in and pose the question. And very likely we'll take that question and we'll answer it as we're about to with this question. So let's roll it.
I have heard that there is a treatment for prostate cancer at a renowned hospital that's a 5-day program and is supposed to be pretty good for prostate cancer. I've got a friend that they want to take his thyroid out because he has cancer in the center of it. And I was wondering if that treatment for prostate cancer can be applied to the thyroid. I don't know if possible, but I'd like to have an answer to that. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, that's actually a really great question, and it leads us in all sorts of directions. I think the procedure that you're referring to is the CyberKnife procedure, which is a very, very targeted form of radiation therapy that is designed to zap the cancer and spare the adjacent tissue. And there are a variety of therapies that now are designed to do that, especially for prostate cancer. And they're in competition with one another. And it's hard to say, you know, which is the ultimate therapy. So men faced with a decision about prostate cancer, they're told that they can have the prostate removed. They can get radiation therapy to zap the entire prostate. They can get very targeted therapy. And the upside to the more old-fashioned treatments is that they're going to destroy the entire prostate, and then there's no more prostate tissue to generate prostate cancer. On the other hand, because it's less targeted, there's more of a risk of impotence or urinary problems. So if you zap just where you think the cancer is, you still have a prostate, or you have prostate tissue that you haven't zapped, and that prostate tissue may eventually generate prostate cancer. But I'm told that with the procedure in question, the CyberKnife treatment, that for most relatively non-aggressive prostate cancers, that you got about a 95% cure rate. It comes back maybe 5% of the time in the remaining prostate tissue. Now, let's apply that to the model of thyroid cancer. Well, first of all, the thyroid is something that you can remove in its entirety. And while it isn't perfect, you can do pretty well without a thyroid just by taking thyroid hormone. So it is not really so much of a question of, well, let's just hit the one area where the cancer is, and let's leave the rest of the thyroid. The problem being that if one area of the thyroid became cancerous, leaving the thyroid in place, even after zapping the cancerous part, could result in the development of thyroid cancer later on. So that is not a therapy that's generally used. And the other problem, though, with thyroid cancer is that we're beginning to realize that a lot of people who have some slight abnormalities in their thyroid, like precancers or even very localized cancers, don't go on to develop life-threatening metastatic thyroid cancer. And therefore, too many people are having their thyroids removed. And sometimes after biopsy comes up abnormal, they then do pathology on the entire thyroid that they take out. It turns out that there's no cancer. And that actually happened to a celebrity patient who was then president of Argentina, President Kirchner, I believe, was first diagnosed having prostate cancer. And this created, you know, like international sensation. She has prostate cancer. Oh, my goodness. You know, the head of state of a country has thyroid cancer. And then she had her thyroid removed. And then a few weeks later, the headline was she didn't really have thyroid cancer. And this has actually led to a reassessment of how aggressive we should be about thyroid screening and maybe hold the line on removing thyroids wholesale, because sometimes it's unnecessary. So the answer is, you know, if there's definitively cancer in that thyroid, you take out the whole thyroid. That's just a way, that's just a standard practice. Who knows? Maybe in the future, some kind of targeted therapy like CyberKnife will be validated for thyroid cancer, but right now that's not the case. It's a little bit of a different situation than prostate cancer, where, you know, we're concerned. You know, you do too aggressive treatment, and men can have problems with incontinence. Men can have problems with potency, and that's pretty important, for especially for younger men who have prostate cancer. Okay, 877-726-8255. Keep those calls coming. Good time to share with you about one of my favorite companies. It's Protocol for Life Balance. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line in my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help maintain your healthy blood sugar. It's a big consideration these days because lots of people with borderline blood sugars, elevated hemoglobin A1C, outright diabetes. The products are glucose management with berberine, glucose balance, and chromate. These botanical supplements can play an important role in proper insulin function, normal energy production, promotion of healthy body weight, and maintenance of healthy blood sugar levels that are already within the normal range. Their ingredients are backed up by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Check them out. 877-726-8255. All right, we're going to continue to look at some common beliefs that influence our daily practices. And one has to do with using oil for cooking. And it's commonly believed that, and correctly to some extent, that oils are very delicate. And when you heat them, they get damaged. And therefore, you have to be very selective about the oils you use for high temperature cooking. And I like to, frankly, I like to saute things. I like to put a little bit of a char on things. And you got to lubricate the pan. So what are the safest oils to use when you're cooking? And it's also commonly believed that olive oil is rather fragile. It's a good oil to use on salad, but it's not that great for cooking because of its smoking point. And you all have had the experience, I have, where, you know, you're multitasking and you put some olive oil in a pan, you walk away and maybe you check an email and you come back and like, pan smoking. Olive oil's bad. It's turned into a toxic waste dump. And you don't want to, you know, you got to, you know, cool off the pan, clean it out, start all over again. Well, there's a study, and it harkens back to 2018, done just last year. And what they say here is, when cooking oils are exposed to heat, oil degradation occurs and byproducts are produced, which include secondary products of oxidation and polar compounds. Those aren't good. Some byproducts of oil degradation have adverse effects on health. The smoke point of an oil is believed to be correlated with the safety and stability under heat. Although technical evidence to support this is limited. The aim of this study was to assess the correlation between an oil's smoke point and other chemical characteristics associated with stability safety when heating. So they looked at extra virgin olive oil and other common cooking oils, and they heated them up pretty high, 240 degrees centigrade. Remember, centigrade's a lot hotter than Fahrenheit. Temperature of water boiling, what, 212? 240 C is pretty darn hot. And then they were exposed to 180 degrees centigrade for 6 hours. And the samples were assessed at various times, testing smoke point, oxidative stability, free fatty acids, polar compounds, fatty acid profiles, and whatever, you know, all these different parameters that would tell you whether the oil has been rendered inedible or toxic. What they found is that, and this is actually something that I've been told, but I didn't quite believe it. I've been told that olive oil is pretty safe, and even if it smokes, don't worry about it. I mean, don't really, you know, burn it, but it's pretty resistant to damage at high temperatures. What they say here is that extra virgin olive oil's fatty acid profile and natural antioxidant content allow the oil to remain stable when heated, unlike oils with high levels of polyunsaturated fats. That might be something like, you know, canola oil, safflower oil, soy oil. They degrade more readily. They say this study reveals that under the conditions used in the study, smoke point does not predict oil performance when heated. Oxidative stability are better, and UV coefficients, I don't know what that is, but that's a measurement of the purity and stability of the oil. These are better predictors than smoke point. Of all the oils tested, extra virgin olive oil was shown to be the oil that produced the lowest level of polar compounds after being heated, closely followed by coconut oil. So you got coconut oil, it's a saturated fat. Saturated fats have very, very stable chemical bonds. They can be heated to very high temperatures and they won't be damaged. And I thought olive oil was reigning supreme, maybe alongside something like ghee or lard. But extra virgin olive oil produced the lowest level of polar compounds after being heated, even when heated to around its smoking point. So, you know, reassuring news about olive oil, and reassuring news to me, because I'm sometimes a little, sometimes people call me, when I'm in the kitchen, I'm sort of like a blacksmith, you know, like a red hot anvil and tongs. That's the way I cook. I sear my food and, you know, can't help it. I got a heavy hand in the kitchen. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As I continue to look for more ways to fulfill my pledge to provide the information you need to make informed choices about your health and wellness, I've developed a simple way for you to access curated supplement protocols previously available only to patients in my private practice. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. You'll find easy-to-follow links to not only the best individual products, but also to my brand new Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols that combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals, heart health, immunity support, and much more. We provide only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. It's the easiest way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need in order to follow the Intelligent Medicine lifestyle. And for a limited time, you'll also receive 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details on each of the protocols and to take advantage of these special offers, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help maintain your healthy blood sugar: glucose management with berberine, glucose balance, and chromate. These botanical supplements can play an important role in proper insulin function, normal energy production, promotion of healthy body weight, and maintenance of healthy blood sugar levels that are already within the normal range. Their ingredients are backed up by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And our number is 877-726-8255. Use that number this hour and next for direct phone calls and questions during our program. You can also record a question off hours. Do you know what a shibboleth is? It's a great word, a shibboleth. It means an unsubstantiated popular view that sometimes upon greater examination succumbs to the harsh light of scientific truth and validation. And one thing that has been going around, making the rounds through, you know, sort of the natural community is the notion that certain indoor plants can overcome sick building syndrome. We know this is a big problem because we live in enclosed environments and energy efficient buildings. And, you know, I hate when I go to a hotel and I can't open the window. You know, it'd be nice to get a little, some fresh air in the room, but no, it's got an HVAC system. And that's the way that a lot of classrooms are. They actually did a survey in California recently, and they found that literally too much carbon dioxide builds up in classrooms because there's not enough ventilation. The HVAC systems, especially when it gets cold or when it gets too hot, they close the windows, they turn on the HVAC, and then the exhalations of the students and the teachers build up. You get excess carbon dioxide, and that can't be good for focus and concentration. Maybe that's why I was just like, you know, brain dead during some of my elementary and junior high school and high school experience in California. But at any rate, it's thought that a way to antidote sick building syndrome is to use indoor houseplants. And I've got an article, it's a recent article. They say that we already know that through photosynthesis, plants help us by taking carbon dioxide from the air and releasing pure oxygen to the atmosphere. So they give you a list of the best indoor plants for clean air. These are pretty popular lists that you can find by Googling. And then it lists, you know, which are the best plants. And they, you know, talk about ivy plants and they talk other plants. It says, when it comes to removing toxins from the air, the bigger the plant and its leaves, the better its ability to purify the environment. So I guess you should have plant a redwood tree in your house because it's a very big, big plant. Okay, well, here comes a study. Study says actually potted plants don't improve indoor air quality. Decades of potted plant studies don't hold up outside the lab. They say that all this is based on an old study in 1989 when NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, was in search of ways to clean the air on space stations, and they declared that plants could be used to remove carcinogenic chemicals from the air. These are among them are what are called VOCs, volatile organic carbons. And they say the typical for these studies, a potted plant was placed in a sealed chamber, very small, into which a single volatile organic carbon was injected. And its decay was tracked over the course of many hours a day. So it worked out. There was a reduction in the VOC. The plants did dissipate the VOCs in a chamber. But while many of these studies did show a reduction in the concentration of volatile organic compounds over time, the latest study shows that it would take between 10 and 1,000 plants per square meter of floor space to compete with the air cleaning capacity of a building's air handling system, or even just a couple open windows in a house. So they say this is an example of how scientific findings can be misleading or misinterpreted over time based on one old study that was under, you know, very, very restricted conditions. But it's also a great example of how scientific research should continually re-examine and question findings to get closer to the truth of understanding what's actually happening around. I really like, you know, the fact that they examined this old shibboleth. Here's another one. We're shaking our confidence in drunk driving tests, alcohol breath tests, which are used by cops across the U.S. to convict drunk drivers, often produce inaccurate results, according to a new investigative study in the New York Times. They say there are a lot of problems. The devices can be inaccurate. Also, the software used to read the results from the devices can be messed up. Police stations are notorious for not maintaining their hardware. And the net result is this is going to be a bonanza for defense lawyers who are starting to question the test, and literally thousands of convictions are being thrown out on the basis of maybe the equipment is faulty. The inaccurate tests have caused a lot of harm. People have been wrongly convicted of drunk driving when tests inaccurately show high levels of alcohol in their blood. And man, is it a hassle. You get hit with a DUI and it's going to cost you a lot for an attorney. You may lose your driving privileges, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Based on inaccurate equipment, faulty devices, this is a big problem. Unfortunately, a lot of people who really are drunk drivers are going to get exonerated on the basis of questioning these devices. 877-726-8255. We'll be back for another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.